With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from Jake and Joe's in Waltham, this is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll have special guests and you can get caught up on Eagles football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, famous among friends. Also sponsored by Bletzer & Bletzer PC, developing long-standing relationships with the clients we serve since 1959. McGovern Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, driven by you. And by Village Bank, your village, your bank. Now it's time to talk BC football with the head coach, Steve Adazio. Here's the voice of the Eagles, John Meter-Perrell.
Hi, what's good, everybody? It's great to have you with us from Jake and Joe's in Waltham on the BC Football Show. John Meter-Perrell with the coach, Steve Adazio, and of course, the old linebacker, Pete Cronin, is back. After 1 week absence, we decided to bring him back, coach, because you know what? Mutrin said, hey, Pete, you can have it, and
hold on.
Gladly accept.
St. Edward's in Medfield was very appreciative of my absence. We raised a lot of money.
I heard you were doing God's work.
We're bringing back the old veteran pro, right?
I'm trying to buy my way into heaven.
Good way.
However you get there.
Exactly.
Good way to do it. But Coach, good to see you. And we've said this many times on the show the last couple of years, but we appreciate you being a trooper here and, you know, putting you on the firing line a little bit. I know it's not easy after a loss, but
it's life.
It's life. It's part of the job. I know you kind of sign up for that. But, you know, Pete and I said throughout the game, this one's there for the taking. BC's playing well. 2.5, 3 quarters. We're thinking, all right, it's there. I'm sure you felt the same way on the sideline. Upon further review, what'd you learn from the game tape?
Well, here's the deal, okay? I felt exactly that way. We went in halftime, and I went in halftime. I sat down in there with the staff, and I said, we got this game. I mean, I felt like at that point in time, we were kind of whacking them pretty good. We were moving the ball pretty well. On defense, you know, we were stymieing them. Now, when you watch the tape, here's exactly what it is, okay? We knocked them off the ball up front. Our offensive line played one of the best games they've played. We did a lot of great things on offense, had over 400 yards of offense. A lot of positive things happened. On defense, it's as bizarre as I can tell you. When you watch the tape, they didn't move our front guys an inch, okay? Yeah. They didn't throw the ball over our head. But what happened was we had 7 plays on the tape. There are 7 plays, run plays, that went for 330 yards. And we were out of gaps. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, they must have knocked the crap out of you. No, I mean, they were kind of uncontested. And we missed some fits in the back end that would have put a play down at 10 or 12 yards. But you talk about up front, I mean, we weren't blocked. And that's what drove everybody insane, the defensive coaches, everybody. And so it's, you know, we've got to make sure we can't be out of gaps. We can't be lined up wrong. We can't miss those tackles in the back end.
Yep.
But usually when you see that, it's because you're getting mauled. That wasn't the case. And, you know, that's what the tape was. I know the final score is like, oh, boy, they didn't. I mean, you were there. I mean,
right.
I mean, watch the video of the tape, and it'll tell the tale. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, you lost the game, and that's the way it is. And we got to fix those issues. You know, a big turning point in the game was that time we went for 4th-and-1. We didn't get it on the 30 going in, and they were able to take it 70 by converting 2 runs on 3rd down. And that tilted that game right there. But I thought even after that, we came back. We went down the field, beautiful 80-yard drive, throwing the ball. We kind of looked like a good outfit. And then, you know, the next time we thought we were confident we'd go down again, and after a 10-yard draw, we put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of last week, I felt like we really made a lot of headway with the offense. Now we got dealt a tough blow last week with the defense, and now we've got to turn around and make some decisions and try to make as much headway as we can with the defense. And we're doing this while we're playing some awfully good football teams.
Yes.
I mean, NIU, everybody asked about NIU. Well, they went and beat Nebraska. At Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now what we have to do is go ahead right now, and we have to find a way to go down to Clemson and beat Clemson.
Now, you were talking about making some decisions. Is that personnel decisions, evaluating what you have, and maybe bringing guys sooner than you'd like to put them in the mix?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we also on defense got tired. I mean, we at the end of the game, we started not playing with the same stinger. It's weird. We ran about 90 plays on offense. We're like the fifth in the country with the amount of plays we've run, right? Mm-hmm. And, so what we need to do now is, I think we need to rotate a few more people and try to keep our defense fresh. I think that was part of it, too, towards the end a little bit. Started getting a little tired.
And that was uncharacteristic from what we've seen. That was, the gash plays was big runs. Those are guys who are good athletes. There's no question about it. They didn't need much. Give them a little bit, they take a mile. But the very uncharacteristic for the defense to play like that. It was just a function of what? Timing, poor execution, the point of attack, the gap integrity.
Got out of our gap. And we missed a couple of key tackles.
Couple tackles, we saw that.
They passed for about 90 yards. I mean, bizarre.
It was bizarre because there's so many explosive plays. You guys had a ton too. Pete keeps track of chunk plays. Yeah. What did you have? BC had 15?
15, which is unofficially, but that's
probably the most you've had at least since the bowl game. Definitely, I don't think in the bowl game you had 15.
15, 10 plus.
Right,
a couple of explosives.
And that's to me the offense is headed in the right direction. When you say you need to make changes defensively, one of the changes today I noticed was shifting Davon Jones to defense. What can you tell us about him playing linebacker?
Well, we're going to take a look at Davon. He came in as a safety. We moved him to offense. We love him. He's a real football guy. So we're just going to we got to take a look. I mean, what you don't want to do is take a guy and take him out of contention but if he can fit that job description, we need to start building a little bit of depth there and make up for some of the injury situations. So he's a guy we're looking at, and we'll see how that goes over the next couple of days.
Well, that's good depth, at least. You can shift him. He's athletic enough to adjust.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, he's a powerful, powerful guy with tremendous ball skills, great change of direction.
Right.
And he's kind of a baller. You know what I mean? Like, he's got football comes naturally to him.
Good.
But we got to see. I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, we don't have training camp here right now. So, you got to try to get all this done as you guys know, in game weeks, there's only, a couple of real working days in there,
Yep.
So you're trying to, we took a look at Sunday and take a look tomorrow and see if we feel like we can get him where we need to get him. You don't want to, hurt a guy, because he's, there's an adjustment period in there.
Well, you look at the 2 weeks ago, you had some issues on offense. The advancement over a week period for offense was remarkable.
Yeah.
Now you had a tough afternoon on defense. I suppose you could expect, because now you've got focus and really back to fundamentals, back to gap integrity, back to some of the things that you were doing well that you may have gotten away from, you expect a big improvement on defense coming up this week, in spite of the fact that you're playing a darn good football team.
Yeah. I mean, we're playing probably the best team in the country right now, arguably. At their place. But, I think, we've got to fix those issues. It's one thing, like I said, if you're playing against a team and they're overwhelming you and they're kind of getting the best of you, physically, that's one thing. But if you're out of your gap, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've got to do – now, missing tackles, we're gonna address that in practice, obviously. All you can do is address your issues. And – and work at them, and that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Now, overlooked aspect of the game, unless something catastrophic happens, special teams.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, this is as good a group as I've seen you in 5 years.
We have really upgraded our talent level, and that's reflective in special teams. People think of special teams, they always equate it to kicker. That's fine. That's a big piece of it,
Right.
But there's 10 other guys on the field. And our coverage units right now are elite. They really are. Our kickoff return right now is really good.
You're one block away.
I know. Many of them.
One block.
We're performing at a pretty high level. Our punt coverage is performing at a pretty high level. Our kickoff coverage, I think, is outstanding. And, of course, we're kicking it out of the end zone right now. I think the one unit that we're trying to get up to speed, and we were close in this game, was punt return. You know, we had a couple we were close on, but I'd like to see that improve a little bit. But I'm very, very pleased with where our special teams are. Very pleased. And that's usually reflective of we've upgraded our athletes.
Right.
And, you know, that's happened. So that's a good thing, you know. And, you know, right now coming out of the game, the biggest thing we have to fix is letting up those seven plays for big yardage. I mean, you got to fix that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's got obviously all of our attention, without a doubt.
Another guy who's emerged here, it's definitely on Saturday, was Charlie Callahan.
Yeah,
who had a great game.
He
was our IMG player of the game in honor of Joe and Anna Trusty, two of Pete and I have great friends who perished in a plane crash. We honored him with that award. And he looked like he's coming into his own now as a graduate student.
Yeah, I mean, he's an older guy. He's a fifth-year guy. It's real important to him. He's worked real hard, and I think he's, you know, you love to see those guys have their best years in their fifth year, and I think Charlie's right now off and running to maybe to have his best year ever, and there's no one more deserving than him of that, so I hope he can sustain that, you know, and he's put a lot of hard work into it, you know.
Overall, Anthony Brown, I thought he played a very good game.
Yeah, very good game, yeah.
Through three games, pretty good representation.
Yeah, played a great opening game. Had some issues, but played a great game. I think the second game, we've duly documented what we think happened in the second game. You know, I think the upheaval at the center position was a little overwhelming for a young guy. I mean, I wish, you know, unfortunately, I wish, you know, we had had a different game to play that week. I'd like to have that one back, but, you know, you're not going to get it back. And I think Anthony responded really, really well. You know, and, you know, we talked about it here on the radio show last week. We also tried to help him. And, you know, we tried to really cut down what we did, and we tried to put in some real controlled play action and try to do as much as we could to try to take care of him. I mean, that was a lot with went into our decision at halftime, you know, before the half. I mean, it was all in an effort to try to guard him, he had a great look in his eye. He felt good. And the last thing in the world we want to do is kind of put him in one of those situations where, you know, you're trying to get too aggressive. And I tried that the week before. And, you know, our goal was to manage that. It was a big game atmosphere, and I thought he came out really great. I mean, we had the one turnover at the end of the game, and we had that. And, you know, this is part of his maturation process.
Is that one of those decisions, though? Maybe at midnight that night, you're thinking, "Man, I should have gone for it." Do you do that?
No, not on that one.
No.
I mean, some of them, yes. You know, on the third and one, I probably said to myself, "Boy, there's a couple things I would have liked to have done different." I mean, on the fourth and one, there's a couple things I would have liked to have done differently. Okay, on that one, there, you know. Here's what I saw. I tell you the God's truth of what I saw. We decided to run a draw. The snap got bobbled. The exchange between John Hillman got bobbled.
Yep.
And I said to myself, we took one shot at the end zone. We decided to take a shot, you know, and we took that shot. And then I saw that, and we were off target. And then we bobbled the next snap. And that's when I said, we got too much momentum here right now for a strip sack,
yep,
or a forced ball for a pick. And so, no, I mean, you know, get abused for that, that's fine. I mean, I've got to make that decision. I made it for that reason. You know, agree, disagree. That's why, you know, the world's full of different opinions. You know, and there's always going to be a call or two or three in every game that, quite frankly, you know, you're always going to look at and, you know, I wish I did this, I wish I did that. I wish a week ago I didn't try to get the two-minute drill going before the half, okay? But that's life,
right.
And that's why there's, you know, people love to have an opinion, and I get it.
Right.
There's not much I can do about it. That's my explanation. That's why I did what I did. And, I we don't do anything without a reason. It's not like, you know, we have some conversation about this now. I mean, it's not one guy, okay?
Right.
I mean... And that's what goes into these things. And sometimes, you know, you have a thought process and it goes great, and sometimes it goes amok. And sometimes you'll look back and say, you know what, I wonder if that was the best thought process. In this particular case, I thought it was, and I still do. But, you know, there's always a reason to not know that.
Somebody in the booth was actually commenting that was the reason that decided to go into the half without burning the timeouts. It's funny. We must be channeling. I don't know. It's all good.
It's all about your thought process. And like I said, you know, I'm responsible, you know, for that, like it or not. Okay. And that quarterback at that particular point in time, the most important thing for us was his confidence. Okay. I couldn't see that guy get rattled at that stage of that game.
Nope.
Okay. And he didn't.
No. Nope.
And so I look at that as a win-win. Okay. And that's it. It's almost a lot of discussion to me about something. It was one piece of that. My God, I'm much more interested in the seven plays that went for 320. Okay, if you want to know the truth, and get that fixed.
Right.
That's really where that's where my focus is right now, and continuing to develop us offensively, and get ready to put a plan together to go down to Clemson.
Right.
And play at the highest level.
Certainly going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. It always is in Death Valley. He's Steve Adazio. We'll be back with the BC Football Show after this from Jake and Joe's in Waltham.
Five on the play clock. Snap to Ryan. Back deep to pass at the 35. A lot of time. Man, does he have time. Chased by Ellis now. Ryan, past the 30. Throw into the end zone for Callender. Touchdown! Andre Callender's got it! Touchdown, Boston College!
Welcome back to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. To talk more X's and O's with Coach Adazio, here again, John Meter-Perel.
Yeah, one of the great moments of BC's recent history. Andre Callender catching a pass from Matt Ryan on a rainy Thursday night in Blacksburg in 2007. I think our producer Steve Ciaccio was screaming in the background as that call was made. But it was hard not to get caught up in that, Coach. That was one of the all-timers. BC was down all game, 55 minutes, playing in a bizarre rainstorm. And the last 5 minutes, they came alive. And a guy like Andre Callender made a big-time catch thanks to a big-time throw. And you need those type of players. You know that. And he's joining us right now on the phone line, one of the great BC running backs, Andre Callender.
Hello.
How are you, Andre? Good to hear from you.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks. And when you hear that call, when you go back to that game against Virginia Tech and go back to that season, you must look back very fondly. What did Boston College mean to you? What was the experience like for you?
Oh, man, it means the world to me, man. I'm glad I coming out of high school made that decision. It's been one of the best decisions of my life. And I got to meet a lot of people and play with a lot of good football players and be able to be coached by a lot of good coaches. So I have nothing but great things to say about Boston College.
And one thing that you really did, Andre, at BC was you did everything. You're a good blocking back. You're a good receiving back. You can run the football. You and L.V. Whitworth used to alternate in the backfield. Did you ever realize that, man, I'm a well-rounded back?
As I look back to it, yeah, I do now. Before, it was just I'll do anything just to win, And I think we all had that approach to the game that we'll do anything to win. And if it calls for us doing anything, whatever coaches ask us to do, we'll do just to, come through to win. And they always preach us to do more things to make yourself more valuable. And that's what we try to do, especially in the offseason, to make ourselves more valuable to our team.
Andre, this is Pete Cronin. Good to hear your voice. Where are you these days?
I'm back home in New Jersey now. I started a small commercial cleaning company now. So I'm just starting that off. So I'm in the starting stages, getting that rolling, and also coaching high school football in Irvington, New Jersey.
All right, got any candidates?
yeah. I'm always putting the plug in for BC. That's
good.
Always a plus.
That's good.
Jersey's a big home for Boston College. So I always see around and I look at the news here. I see a lot of guys going to BC, so that's always great to see.
Well, we look back at your career in those years and. It was not uncommon that Boston College was a significant underdog going into many games. That one in Blacksburg was a perfect example of it. The game against Clemson, another example of it. But you found a way to win. Any advice for us and what it takes to win and confronted with challenges like that?
I think at the beginning of the thing, you have to bring in guys that are BC guys. We always recruited BC guys. And guys that just do anything, as I said before, to win. and it starts in the off season. You know, team camaraderie, always being around each other, having each other's back when one's down. You know, as Coach O'Brien can tell us, if one person goes down in the military, you know, the next guy has to pick it up and, you know, keep moving. And that was the mindset he instilled in us as a team, you know. And I think BC is there, you know, one step away, but we're going to be there again.
Andre, what was it like playing with Matt Ryan, especially in 2007? Throughout your career, you were a great receiver, 76 catches in 2007, second team All-ACC. What was it like to be in the huddle with him?
Oh, it was great, man. He had so much poise, leadership, you know, all the things, all the qualities you need to lead a team to where we got, to where we've been, and he had it, and we all knew it, you know, and that's why when he took over as the starting quarterback, we all knew we were going to be heading in the right direction, because we knew as young Matt that he was going to be good. He always had something about him that pushed him past everyone else. The time he spent watching film, the extra time at the practice with the receivers and the running back, you know, we knew we had something special with him.
So, Andre, a couple of questions for you. Number one, I get this question a lot. Do you stay in touch with your teammates, guys you played with at BC?
I do stay in touch with a couple of them. Guys, the Sherrillis, the left tackle.
Guys.
Jolon Dunbar, Juwan Triple, Brandon Robinson. I talked to a lot of guys, Clarence, Megua. I talked to a lot of these guys that, you know, especially when I'm so close to Boston, when I try to make trips up, I try to bounce around and see everybody, because I know a lot of them are still in the area. So that's always a great time when I come back up to see those guys come to a game. I haven't actually been up to be able to come up this year yet, but hopefully I can come up to catch a game, because me coaching high school football is kind of hard for me to come up on the weekend, because I'm playing the same days as the games are. But I'm going to at least try to make it up to one of these games this year.
Andre, this is Steve Adazio. We really appreciate all your support and everything you've done for us here, and obviously in the state of New Jersey. You've been awesome, man. So really want you to hear that. We appreciate you.
Oh, good to see you. Good to hear from you. Last time I saw you, we were I was at camp, brought some guys up to come to BC camp. So, you know,
right.
I'm here in New Jersey, so I'm probably bringing some more up again to see you.
Well, you're awesome, man. You're a BC man, and you're a great person, great player, and we appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate everything. Best of luck for you the rest of the season.
Thanks, Andre.
Andre, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As Coach just said, a true BC guy, and there's no doubt that you are remembered fondly at the Heights. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a nice day.
You too, Andre. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Andre Callender, one of those guys, I'm sure you'll probably look to recruit him to this day, that defines what a BC guy is.
Yeah, great guy.
Not
great,
a two-star recruit.
Yeah, talented, high character, great work ethic, just a tremendous guy, great player, and fantastic, you know. And those are the guys that, like he said, you know, that, you know, you're out there recruiting, you're getting those guys. And,
right.
And they come in here and they develop and they become just awesome, you know.
And speaking of running backs, as we transition to what your backfield looks like now, John Hilleman ran with power. He ran with abandon. He did a lot of good things. I know you probably like the fumble back and the fourth and one probably. But overall, to me, that was one of the best games I've seen John Hilleman play.
Yeah, I mean,
would you agree?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he played one of his very best games. He had a real mindset and demeanor and did a great job. And of course, A.J. went in and did some great things as well, and he has such promise. So John's been a great mentor to A.J. in his development. And, of course, Travis Levy's gotten in for a couple of the key plays in there as well. So there's some real talent in that backfield. And, you know, it was great to see our run game, you know, pop a little bit. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that the offensive line and the tight ends played pretty well in that game. I mean, we reestablished a chemistry again. We were so disrupted 2 weeks ago. What a shame. And but now that got much more under control. Now we got to take another step. We got to take this young center, who I thought played a fabulous game. He's got to learn how to go do that now in a very loud, hostile stadium, and that's going to be another first. But he's a player,
yeah.
And he solidified us interiorly. I mean, he's a big man in there, and that helped our run game. So I want to continue to see that development.
No, that particular series. John and I were looking at each other going, and because it looked as though it was hat on hat. They got their fits. They got that disruption where you look at like where Andre had that big run. He's out by the numbers, and he cut back, and there was no interference coming from the interior.
Yeah.
And nothing but green. And my comment was, it's because everyone's on the ground.
Yeah.
Because they got knocked down by the offensive line. So it gives the back an opportunity. But that's about as good as we've seen that unit operate this year.
How that unit was operating in preseason camp, okay? I really felt that, you know, in game one, a couple of guys, for whatever reason, you know, we didn't handle some of the pickup, some of the movement and stuff early, but I thought we went back and we solidified and we handled movement, twist, and pressures. And I really against good people. I mean, Notre Dame was a big physical defensive front. Now, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, we keep talking about those seven plays because we need to because they got to get fixed. But that's one of the better offensive lines in the country. And honestly, they didn't move our defensive line an inch. I mean, so there's positives in there. Now, the negatives are what they are, and they got to get fixed. But the physicality on both sides up front in that game was pretty darn good now.
And that's been the trademark for success here at Boston College is making, we joke, a lot of these teams want to come in, make it a track meet.
Right.
BC wants to make it a brawl.
Right.
And if you can get it to that brawl stage, you give yourself a really good chance to win.
We gave ourselves into the brawl stage for,
40 minutes.
Two and a half quarters. And the back half of that, we gave up a couple of big plays in the back half of that third period, you know. And then we were playing catch-up at the end, trying to chuck the ball around, which, led to an interception, led to, a couple of things. And that's, at that point, we're just interested in trying to win the game and not interested in, worried about, we're kind of down a path that we're not, polished enough there yet, But that's the facts. And put the defense on the short field a couple times. I mean, everybody, that's reality too.
Yeah.
BC football show will continue from Jake and Joe's in Waltham. More about the Clemson game coming up on Saturday at 3:30 after this from our good friends at Anheuser-Busch. Fumble, Wimbush diving, BC diving. I think the Eagles may have it at the 31-yard line. They do. Boston College football. Wimbush lost the football, and Kevin Bletzer picked it up for his first career fumble recovery.
Welcome back to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. To talk more X's and O's with Coach Addazio, here again, John Meter-Perrell.
The next man up, Kevin Bletzer, filling in for the injured Connor Strahan on Saturday. Welcome back to the BC Football Show. It's good to have you with us. John Meter-Perrell, Steve Addazio, and Pete Cronin. Bletzer & Bletzer PC, a full-service law firm. They've been in practice for over 50 years. They're conveniently located in Brighton. You can go to BletzerLaw.com for more information. His father, always around the program, good player at Holy Cross, and I know he must have been very proud. Kevin, I thought, acquitted himself well.
Kevin did a great job. And played a lot of football on Saturday, special teams and on defense, and took the responsibility on and handled it quite well. He's a great kid, working real hard, and going to continue to have an opportunity to develop.
The Connor Strahan loss, first of all, give us an update of where he stands right now. Do we know?
No. He's in the process of, gathering all the information to be able to make a good decision here, I would think, over the next, couple days.
And obviously a significant blow. What do you have to do to compensate for that absence?
Well, with Connor, first of all, he was a Mike backer here. Then we moved him to Sam backer. And you're talking about a draftable guy. You're talking about one of the top four players on your team, kind of like John Baker. It's not just a guy. I mean,
yep.
He was an impact player. So you did some things because he had the ability to do them. Connor has a unique ability that not only is he powerful, but he's extremely fast. Those guys are hard to come by. We have played with NFL outside backers here, right? All three guys, Matt, Milano is on the active roster of the Bills. You got KPL. You got Josh Kies, right? That's what we've played with. And that position's, in the structure of the defense we're in, that position's a critical, critical position. So, and Kevin's done a really nice job, and, we're behind him as a true freshman. So, we've got to solidify There's some job description. Everyone's different in their what their special talents are.
Right.
And it's, you know, we've got to make sure that we've got the right job description for the people we have playing that position right now, quite simply. I mean, you know, it's not that complicated, but it's hard when you got one guy there right now and his backup is a true freshman who's a talented guy in his own right, but he's a true freshman right now. So, you know, those are the things we have to adjust and talk about and, you know, and see which, you know, direction we want to kind of start moving towards to put your best players on the field and give them and let them have the ability to do what they can do the best.
Now, that position for several years now has been a strong suit of the defense. Lots of depth there, but you seem like you got thin real quick. Obviously, the injury has an effect on that, especially to your best defensive player. But it just, how did you get thin that quick?
We had three drafted guys. I mean, you went through a run of three draftable guys.
Right.
And, you know, we think we, you know, Kevin's done a really nice job for us, and we think we have a true freshman that's super talented. And so, you know, it's, you're kind of a, got to, every once in a while, certain positions, you're in a real reload.
Yep.
But that particular position is very unique, and you're not always necessarily going to find the right guy for that job description. So sometimes you might have to retweak
how you
reconfigure
think.
How
right.
your thinking is.
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, there are years where you don't have a big back. Well, then you got to reconfigure the kind of run game you're going to run if you don't have a big. You're not always going to have to say, well, just go get one. Well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, this, you know, you get what you can get, too. I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, best available. So it's like that across the board. Some years you might be heavy in defensive linemen more than you are in linebackers, and maybe you should shift to a 3-4 at that point in time. I mean, there's some things that you have to talk about. And those discussions have to be made. And those are great when you have a plan in the off season. And, you know, plans are made to be broke and changed, and sometimes by choice and sometimes not.
Right.
So that's life.
Now, guys like us and Pete and I, we look at numbers. We're numbers guys. And we see Harold Landry only has one sack thus far, maybe not on the field as much as he has been in the past. We say, you know, what's going on? Is there a problem there with an injury?
Well, he's not on the field more than he's been in the past. That's not an accurate statement. What is accurate, though, is like a lot of NFL teams, like a lot of teams do, they try to take their pass rushers and keep them fresh for the important third downs where they can be difference makers, okay? And that's what you're trying to do. If you take a guy and you make him just an every down player, you're not going to get the same guy on third down. Now, having said that, based on where we are, guys banged up and things, you know, those numbers may have to increase just based on sheer need to increase. But the same coaches on that side of the ball, the same position coach made the same decisions before,
right.
Okay? Nothing's changed. There's not someone else calling that shot over there, okay?
Yep.
And that development was pristine and meticulous and great. And numbers aren't always going to be the same. And there's a lot of reasons why they're not. We're getting a lot. They didn't throw the ball. I mean, they threw the ball for 90 yards. I mean,
correct.
Okay? I mean, that wasn't that game,
right.
All right? And certain teams' protections are different. There's two-man route combinations instead of getting five out. And there's a lot of factors here. So, you know, yes, you know, we want Harold to be on as much as he can be on the field. And but his special talent is rushing the quarterback. That's his special talent, okay? So we want to give him that best opportunity to do that.
And he's also a focal point of every offense that comes in. You know they're game planning for him every single minute.
I mean, we're not trying to have him on the field because, you know, there's no ulterior motive here, okay?
No, I wouldn't think there would be.
Yeah.
Well, it's all good. Now he's going to – he as well as the rest of his teammates have a big test in front of him this week. And, you know, shifting gears out of last week and start looking to the next – doesn't get any easier. Probably best team in the country on the schedule Saturday in their place.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Nobody.
No one does. No
Nobody.
One does. They got to go play them, right?
No, you got to go play them. And, you know, we're in a very competitive conference. We're in the most competitive side of it. And you're going to play these teams. And where and how and the dates that you play them, you have no control over that, you know. What you have control over is trying to get a little better every day, try to get a little better every game. And that's what we want to do, and we did. We felt like we improved, especially on offense. And we will regroup on defense and correct some of those issues.
And Kelly Bryant, their quarterback, they replaced Deshaun Watson, who's in the NFL in Houston. Bryant looks very good. Looks like a guy similar to what you faced this week, can run.
He can throw.
Can throw too.
He's an excellent quarterback. I mean, he runs like Murphy used to run here.
Yeah.
He can really throw the ball. He's been there for 3 years. He's been waiting, and he's absorbed well. And he's an elite player. I mean, and I think he's playing at a high level. They got some great receivers. Their offensive line's very good, very good. And they're a heck of a football team. You know, they've been good on defense. That's not a new phenomenon. You know, they have an opportunity to get some of the elite players in the country there, and you can see that on the tape.
And you also see graduate student, redshirt senior, redshirt junior, graduate student along that offensive line. And I know you've said that many times. It's about the development, and he's developed that program. Everyone says Clemson's loaded every year. Yeah, they're loaded every year, but it's also a developing situation for them too.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great job recruiting. They have the best out of everything on their fingertips, okay? And they've made good decisions, and they've had the ability, since they've recruited really well, and he's been there a long time now, to get these kids into their fourth and fifth years. They're not playing guys prematurely right now, and they're in that cycle. And, you know, and more power to them, and more credit to them. I mean, there was a time where they were not in that cycle. Now they are in that cycle, and they're pretty talented. But football is cyclical, and those things have a tendency to, you know, to roll. I mean, you know, Matt Ryan doesn't come through the doors every day, and you know, they you know, sometimes at that level, at places I've been there at other programs, where it can be 10 and 12 and 15 years before a guy of that level can roll through. They're unique.
Right.
All right? And Deshaun was a unique guy. So, you know.
Arguably their greatest player ever. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you can speak to that. I can't. I'm not the historian on Clemson, but, I mean,
yeah.
he certainly is.
He's
super
right
talented.
Up there. That's,
I mean,
saying a lot.
You know, he's playing and he's an NFL player.
Right.
I mean, I thought the guy was an exceptional leader. He had a poise to him. I really liked him as a player.
How do you manage the environment? How do you manage the noise, the fury of Clemson?
Well, you know, you try to put your kids, simplify so that they can have a chance to perform at a high level. Don't go in there with a bunch of checks. Don't go in there with a bunch of motions. You know, try to keep things as simple as you can, and especially when you have a young quarterback. Because the communication gets stressed. Now you got a young center and a young quarterback, so you're trying to eliminate communication problems to the best of your ability. But to say you're not going to have any, everybody does.
Yeah.
Just a fact of life. You know, the kind of environment that environment is, it's unique. I mean, I spent 7 years in that world.
Right.
It's different, okay? It's like jet engines going off. You can't hear yourself talk, think, or anything else. I mean, and we'll do the best we can, like we always do, to prepare our guys to the best of their ability. But that's a little bit of something they have to experience. And you have to have a poise and a comfort to you in there with that, you know. But we will reduce the opportunity for operational errors going into this game.
Are you a good a lot of signs and silent communication on offense, especially when you're in this up-tempo? You got guys running all around. There's a lot of, well,
nonverbal
communication.
Yeah, so that helps us. We've been nonverbal the whole time. In fact, if you come by practice, even from the beginning of training camp, I blared the crowd noise because I didn't want the coaches screaming things because I wanted to train them nonverbally. So they're trained nonverbally. But there's still cadence issues in that noise, even under center, just from the quarterback barking it to the tight end. And there'll be some of that, you know, and that ability to fire out is not as quick as it can be sometimes when you can clearly hear a real cadence. Most people are completely silent in cadence down there, you know, in shotgun. But we'll be under center a fair amount.
There's not a better sound in that stadium than when Boston College shuts those people up.
Yeah.
And it's happened.
Oh, sure.
You can hear a pin drop. And
yeah.
That's when you know you got the upper hand.
It's deafening.
Yeah.
That silence is deafening.
Silence is deafening. Yeah. You know, getting the upper hand at the level they're at right now, that's the job in front of you. That's the chore, you know, because they got some pretty talented players out there right now, and they're playing at a very, very high level. And but that's why you play the game. You know, one thing like I told our kids, we're going to go down there. Like one thing we did against them, we hit them in the mouth. We're going to go down and hit them in the mouth again. We're going to do that, okay? And we got to be as consistent as we can. We've got to limit the turnovers. We've got to, you know, limit the mental assignments, get everything lined up and rock and roll. That's why I think simple is better at this stage of the game down there.
And that will lead us to our keys of the game coming up with Coach Addazio as the BC Football Show continues after this from Anheuser-Busch. Round of the shotgun, three wides right, single back Jones. Round back to pass on the 22. Puts it up for grabs, right pylon, touchdown. Brought down by Charlie Callahan, his second touchdown of the day. Good throw by Anthony Brown on fourth and goal at the 14.
Welcome back to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. To talk more X's and O's with Coach Addazio, here again, John Meter-Farrell.
And whenever BC visits Clemson, it's always fun to check out the sights and sounds of Death Valley, and what a great way to do it on Friday night at the Esso Club, the so-called best bar in college football. The BC Gridiron Club will be there from 3 to 7 on Friday night, also there on Saturday before the game. But Paul Criscione, the mayor, will have his crew there, Coach. I know you can't get there, but if you're in the area, go to the Esso Club and check out Paul Criscione with some great food, frivolity, some Cronin specialties, you know, like the...
Frivolity?
What is something that wrong with your elbow? Yeah.
What is frivolity? Like, hang on. I just want to know what frivolity means. I mean, I went to Central Connecticut, but I don't know what frivolity
good
means.
Good times.
Really? Can I look that up if I Google it?
Look it up right now.
It's like,
right.
Like being frivolous. It's slight and...
Right. That's an Ithaca College word.
All right. Well, that's a higher...
higher level than Central Connecticut?
Bastion of education.
Bottom line, it's going to be fun. Because it always is with the Gridiron Club. And they'll be there. They'll be there at the Esso Club on Friday from 3 to 7.
Frivolity. Good word.
That might have been a soggy dollar word at one point.
Very possible.
Yes. Josh just looked it up. A lack of seriousness, lightheartedness is the definition. Yeah,
kudos to you.
Very nice. All right. Pat myself on the back. Our keys to the game brought to you by McGovern Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, now owned by BC alum Matt McGovern. They have a great selection of over 400 cars to choose from. 777 Washington Street in Newton or McGovernJeep.com. All right, Coach, line it up for us. One thing that we know about your offensive line is rapidly improving. Also allowed just 4 sacks through 3 games. We're going up against a Clemson defensive line that many people think have 3 first-round picks.
Right. So great challenge for us. I think, first of all, as a team, you know, especially on offense, right, operationally, in that climate, we got to make sure we do a great job, right? Nonverbal communication, as we talked about, really critical. We've got to get away from the pre-snap penalties, you know, and we got to take care of the football. And I think that's really important. And then handle the multiple – they have a very multiple defense with multiplicity of stunts and blitzes, and we've got to have a great week handling that. On defense, obviously, we've got to take care of our gap integrity, and we've got to tackle at a high level. These are really elite athletes that'll make you miss in space. So, you know, our ability on defense to not let up the big plays that we have let up is going to be critical in this game. So, and then I think, you know, one thing, we played really well in special teams, but what we didn't do was have a game breaker. And, you know, we're close, but we need a game breaker or two on special teams. I mean, that'll go a long way. And I think that'll probably be important in this game. Obviously, field position is important. You put them on the short field, you got problems. So we got a lot of things cut out for us this week. But, you know, as usual, our guys have a great mentality and are really excited about the challenge. And we'll have a great practice tomorrow.
A lot of times you look at a team and you say, all right, there's a weakness we can exploit. Is Clemson that type of team you look at and say, yeah, you know what, there's something there we can take advantage of?
You know, quite frankly, I wouldn't say that there's one thing there that you say that's a weakness. I don't see that. I mean, I think they're a really good, solid football team. But like anybody else, you got to do what you do best and see if you can do it at a high level. And everyone's got to do that. They got to do that too. And then you go head to head and you try to make play physical. One thing we'll do is play them very physical. They don't see a lot of offenses like us. They see more spread offenses. And we've got to be able to give them things that they don't see and do it at a high level. Do what we do and do it as well as we can do it. That's the key to the whole thing. It's execution, really, and play the game.
We were talking last week about the importance of playing complementary football. And you played complementary football until that one pivot point where you got to You didn't convert on fourth down, and you need defense to make a stop. And that was like, that's when the air started to be let out of the balloon. Did your kids understand that they have a couple of moments in every game where essentially they got to suffer the consequences for their teammates' mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, it's just accountability. But, you know, if you miss a fourth down and one going in on the 30, that doesn't equate to having to give up 70. I mean,
agreed.
You know, and nor should you turn the ball over on, you know, and put your defense backed up. And so that's where complementary football comes in. But, you know, I think the challenge is understanding how, you know, every play can be a game-changing play, you know, and that's the way it is right now. And, you know, the mental strain, it's not good 80% of the time, 90% of the time. You know, you got to get it to 100% of the time. So it's, you know, it's critically important. I think the talent and the ability and the work ethic, they're really good right now. Now we've got to get a much higher level of execution on both sides of the football right now and keep improving. But there's reason to see good things coming with the talent level that you see. I mean, you can say all that, but if you don't have the weapons on offense, you're not going to do anything. And we do. And now we've got to develop those weapons, you know, and we're in the process of that.
Certainly you are. A lot of good things to come. I think we're both in agreement on that. Coach Dazio, thanks again, man. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
Go get him.
Thanks, guys.
Steve Dazio on the BC Football Show. Special thanks to our producer, Steve Chachio, Jason Baum from the BC Sports Information Department, Barry Gallup, Paul Criscione, a cast of thousands, Clinton Cole back in the studio. For Pete Cronin, I'm John Mita Perel and the coach, Steve Dazio. Join us again on Saturday at 3 on the BC IMG Sports Network, the Eagles and Clemson from Death Valley. Until then, have a great week, everybody, and good night from Jake and Joe's in Waltham.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.